Time for us to talk cars, and with us today, Ernest Page, who is a colleague of our regular contributor, Chiros. Ernest, you've heard on the show before, not just a motoring journalist, but also an acclaimed stunt driver. He is somebody who is absolutely crazy about performance cars. He has a very successful YouTube channel called Performance with Page. And if you are a regular at Killarney International Raceway, you'll know his voice because you will have heard him doing the official commentary at events there. It was an absolute delight having him last time. We're great. So pleased to have him back with us again today to chat to us about the car that's not actually quite a car, to talk to us about electric vehicle sales, and to answer your motoring questions, which you can start dialing through on 021-446-0567 or popping through by voice note to 072-567-1567. Ernest Page, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
So good to be back, Pippa, and a lot of interesting things to talk about. But you mentioned earlier on a car that's not a car has got everybody's mouth wagging at the moment.
Well, Ernest, this came up in the motoring segment with Chiro a week or two ago, and somebody said, what about the Bajaj Cute? And I said, what? I've never heard of that before. And Chiro hadn't driven one. You have had the unique experience of driving. It is technically not actually classified as a car, is it?
It's technically classified as a quadricycle. So effectively, it's like a tuk-tuk with an extra wheel. That's kind of what you can think about. But it's closed, so it's got two doors that you can sit inside. It's this really tiny car. You know, most cars are billed as five-seaters, even the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. This car's a four-seater. This quadricycle, the four-seater, so it can be much narrower than a regular car. So that's what it is. It's this narrow, tall little thing that has a top speed of 70 kilometers an hour, and it's kind of made for the inner city or being a delivery vehicle.
I mean, it does look like you expect to see a Mr. Delivery driver get out there and pick up a bag of pizzas when he steps out of this vehicle. It's made for that. I mean, is it allowed to be on what roads is allowed to be on? If it can't do more than 70 kilometers, I'm assuming it won't be welcome on the major highways. But from a sort of a licensing perspective, where else can it go?
From a licensing perspective, it's actually allowed to drive anywhere. But I think legislation might need to kick in if these cars are going to be, you know, regular occurrences on our roads, because South Africa is not the safest place to be when it comes to the highways, you know, yeah. Especially the national roads. We have a speeding problem, and this car is designed for a space such as India, where everybody drives at 60 kilometers an hour, but flat out all the time, but only at 60. That's why the chaos in India works the way it does on their streets, because everybody's driving a similar speed.
Yes.
In South Africa, we've got these speed discrepancies where some people are doing 80 and others are wanting to do 200. So, you know, with the Bajaj, it's allowed to be on the road, but I don't recommend it to be on any national roads or highways.
Okay, so stick to the inner city driving. It's going to be a pleasure to park. I can say that looking at the size of it. Is it a pleasure to drive, Ernest, particularly for somebody like you who is used to the most powerful performance cars? What was it like to be behind the wheel?
It was interesting. I've driven a tuk-tuk before, and what I can say is the experience is very similar. But it's also fun, and I can see how a delivery guy would enjoy his little commute in this car. Having said that, it doesn't have air conditioning, and that was a big problem. And I think that's going to be the biggest bugbear, but it's actually quite fun to drive. It's easy to drive. It's easy to park. It's tiny. You can see every corner from where you're sitting. So I enjoyed the experience. For a delivery guy who's going to spend 10 hours a day in there, that might be another conversation.
Okay, without the aircon in the midst of the Cape Town summer, that could be quite something. And add to that the Cape Town wind, which I'm guessing it would feel like would take this car off the road sideways in a heartbeat, might be quite hair-raising. How widely available is it in South Africa, Ernest?
There is a dealership in Cape Town that I know of that I got the car from.
Okay.
They're in Potchefstroom. And then, of course, Bajaj themselves in Johannesburg. And I contacted the call center, spoke to some of the people there, and they seem to be on it. They seem to have their systems in place. I think they're ready to sell this car to the South African market. And whether people agree with this car or not, the safety aspects, the one-star safety rating, all of these things, if there's a need in the market, and the market wants what it wants, if this Bajaj fills that need, then I think they're going to sell quite a few of it.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the safety thing, because that was going to be my next question. I can't imagine that there's room for any kind of fancy safety systems and airbags and the like. What does it offer, if anything?
So it's got a one-star safety rating with NCAP. Now, when people hear one-star, they automatically think that's really, really bad. And it is when you compare to modern cars. The Bajaj is classified as a quadricycle. Other quadricycles usually score 1 to 2 stars.
Okay.
And then older vehicles score 0 stars. And South Africa has a bunch of old vehicles on the road. Plus, we have current cars that also score 0 and 1 stars currently for sale. So the Bajaj, although it has 1 star, I think in the city it's going to be safer than a motorbike for the delivery guy, and it's going to be safer for the person that doesn't want to take the taxi at 4 a.m. in the morning. Or, you know, there are situations specifically in South Africa where things are just not safe.
Yep.
And the mobility aspect, it's something that the government needs to address, and this is one of the things that's going to address the South African mobility problem.
Okay, let's talk about the cost. Ernest, what's the asking price, and roughly how much is it going to cost to fill up the tank?
60,000 rand starting price, between 60,000 and 72,000 rand starting price. I know that's a lot of money for any vehicle. You know, for any vehicle that it looks like it's a 30,000 rand car. But I think that the second-hand market's going to dictate things as this car goes into the market. You might be able to get one for 50,000 later, but you do get a 1-year warranty and a 10,000-kilometer warranty. So the guys at Bajaj, and you know, this is obviously them saying this, you won't spend much on that car in the beginning. So you're looking at a year's free maintenance, or at least a year's free maintenance-free driving, and 10,000 kilometers. And that works for a startup delivery company, you know, someone wanting to do something along those lines.
Okay, and the petrol tank, how at 70 k's an hour, you're going to be relatively frugal on the petrol.
Yes.
But roughly how far is it going to get you, and what are you going to expect to pay per month, do you think, on fuel for a vehicle like this?
Well, to fill it up costs 136 rand, or thereabouts. And you do on average about 2.8 litres per 100. So 2.8 litres per 100 compared to any other car, a very economical car would do about 5 litres per 100, a Suzuki. So you're looking at half the fuel economy of a very economical car and about a quarter of your average car. So I think fuel economy on this car is a massive, massive selling point.
Okay, Ernest, thank you for doing the actual driving for us. It's intriguing to hear more about a very different offering. So not quite a car, technically a compact quadricycle. But if you are interested, start Googling Bajaj Qute. It's spelled Q-U-T-E. We've also tweeted the link to the very cute video that Ernest and his team have put together based on the experience of driving it. So you'll find that tweeted at Cape Talk. Now, from one extreme to the other, Ernest, interesting to see some latest sales data coming out around the rise in the number of electric vehicles being sold worldwide, particularly during the pandemic.
Yeah, particularly during the pandemic. I think people realized many, many things during this pandemic, things that none of us may have seen coming. And one of those things is that we need to start looking after our planet. So, you know, the renewable conversation came up a lot more, I think, during lockdown. Mm-hmm. And now there does seem to be a rise internationally. Locally, there is a rise as well, but I still think it's a bump in the road at this stage, because our market is so geared towards petrol and diesel. We've got a petrol and diesel economy, let's put it that way.
I know Chiro's mentioned before that the quality of our fuel is a sort of a push factor that keeps the latest international petrol and diesel models away. What about the latest international EV vehicles? Ernest, is it to do with the electricity supply, the availability of charging stations? What are the sort of factors keeping it still at arm's length?
Look, it's not going to. South Africa is behind on many things and many aspects when it comes to, as Chiro mentioned, the fuel and things like that. But funnily enough, we are one of the world leaders when it comes to charging stations per vehicle. So South Africa has got a multitude of charging stations and more on the way, but we just don't have the cars. In a 2020 study, there were only 1,000 electric vehicles, and yes, that number's gone up, and it might have even doubled, I think, but then you're still only looking at 2,000 electric vehicles in the country. So we're ready. The infrastructure's ready. I think government, and I spoke to a gentleman named Martin Pollack about this. He's a specialist in this field. And, you know, government needs to get behind the electric movement. That's the only way we're going to move forward. And by the looks of current statistics, it looks like we might only be an electric car nation by 2050. and we might not even make that deadline. So, you know, I'm trying to look at this article with optimism, but we've got a long way to go in South Africa before we get to the point where we've got many, many electric cars.
Okay. In the meantime, before we leave the vehicle sales, Ernest, what are the biggest selling petrol and diesel models on the market?
Well, the Polos, of course, are the ones to look at, with VW Polo selling 2,294 units this month, the Polo in first, Polo Vivo in second, and the new Toyota Urban Cruiser, which is effectively a rebadged Suzuki, is in third position. And that's really great news for Toyota. But with regard to vehicle sales and the numbers, March, as most people know, was a record month for vehicle sales, and this month was slightly behind March, but that was expected. There's a consolidation happening now, and it will probably go on for the next couple of months, and vehicle sales will start ramping up. We're doing much better than last year, which is a year we shouldn't be comparing to in the first place, but we're kind of back on trend because industry's starting up. The travel industry is getting ready for December. The car rental industry is booting up. Our economy starting to, the cogs are starting to turn. And again, vehicle sales, I always say I'm not one that likes to promote more vehicle sales for the sake of more vehicle sales. But it's great news for our economy because we're starting to work again.
That's good news indeed. Okay, so watch the space. And that Polo, I mean, has the Polo's been the top-selling model for how long now? I mean, Ernest, it's not just months, it's years and years now.
Yes, years and years. It's a staple of our motoring diet. Everybody's got a Polo story. It's a reliable car. A friend of mine was shopping for a Polo, and we went to go check out the really, really good Mswenko. And when we got to the dealership, and I experienced the car soon after that myself on test, and I realized that there's a reason people like the Polo. It's a great car. It really, really, really is. And VW's put together a package that South Africans like, so they're going to keep selling it, and then the next generation will be the Polo Vivo, and that's in second position. So kudos for VW for giving the people what they want.
You know what? I'm one of them. I used to drive one. It was one of my very early cars. Nothing bad to say about it, Ernest. It was light on fuel. It was easy to park. It was spacious enough to fit the whole family in. It was powerful enough for my needs. I just never had a problem with that car until the day I sadly waved it off. So I can totally understand why it continues to dominate in the way it does.
Indeed, indeed.
Ernest, it's been a delight having you with us on the show again today. Thank you very much for standing in for Chiro today, and really for doing the work of checking out the test drive on the Bajaj Cute for us. Really intriguing to hear a bird's eye view from behind the steering wheel of that one. Thank you so much for being with us.
Cheers, Papa. Thanks so much.
Take care. Ernest Page, motoring journalist at cars.co.za, also has his own successful channel called Performance with Page. And if you do want to check out the very cute video about the Bajaj Cute, we have tweeted it at Cape Talk.